إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 10th lecture, or 10th session, dealing with the subject of al-iman, or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based upon a chapter from the book of Hafiz al-Hakami, the Shaykh al-Alama Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah. And this evening we would like to continue with the questions that we have been dealing with related to specifically the third aspect of a tawheed that the Shaykh mentioned when he described what is the meaning or what is the definition of iman in Allah, and he said that it consists of believing in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as well believing in the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone to be worshipped, that is at-tawheed al-ilahiyya or at-tawheed al-uluhiyya. And he said at-tawheed al-rububiyya, to single out Allah alone as the only Rabb, the creator, the owner, the controller, the one who provides, gives life and death, and who controls all the affairs of the universe. And finally, he talked about tawheed al-asma wa sifat, that is singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone as being the one who has a right to be named with the most beautiful and perfect names, and the lofty and perfect sifat, characteristics or qualities or descriptions. And before we go into the questions that we want to deal with tonight, that is question 61 and question 62, before we do that, we want to quickly look at the questions that we dealt with last week, from lecture number 9, and there were two questions, or three questions. Naam. If you were here last week, and you took some notes, or you listened to the lecture carefully, and you know the answer, we'd like to give us a summary. We'd like for you to give us a summary answer to any one of these questions. And if you were not, then inshallah, listen and benefit if you were not here, as it will be like a review. Inshallah. Tayyib. First question, question number 58. How many divisions are the Asma al-Husna, the beautiful names of Allah, divided into from the perspective of them being applied to Allah, the Mighty, the Majestic? Yani, how many divisions can we divide al-Asma al-Husna into? How many divisions can we divide them into in consideration of how they apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Naam. Tayyib, Abdul Karim. Okay, names that stand alone.
Yeah, otherwise it doesn't have like you'll need a name like Hay, like Elijah is one who brings about harm, and you need another name to go there Elijah also.
Okay.
For one aspect, in other words, names like Hay Qayyum, Hay Qayyum, names that stand alone as by itself.
Tayyib. Okay, so you're saying that there's two divisions.
Right. That's two.
No. there are two divisions. Okay. Just somebody give me just one of them. Okay, he mentioned both of them, but just give me one so it's clear to whoever wasn't here. What's one of them alone by itself? Just mention one. Naam, Ibrahim.
One division is a division that is a name that cannot be said in regards to Allah or by Allah without its opposite.
Okay. One type is a name that has to be used with its opposite. It's not permissible to apply this name to Allah alone. And why is that, if somebody knows? Why is it that we can't apply these names alone now?
Because it will give a false idea that Allah has a defect.
Naam, it will give a false idea, a false impression. It may lead somebody to wrongly believe that there is something being attributed to Allah of defect, or something evil, or something. Unless the opposite of it, which makes clear that Allah, for example, Allah gives benefit and He causes harm too. Allah raises up and He lowers some, and so on, like this. Naam. Okay, that's one. That they, it has to be used with its opposite. Naam. And the other one? Naam. You said the first one.
Yeah.
Naam. Ahmed.
The first one that we said last week is the one, the names that can be said by themselves or along with a partner.
Names that can be applied to Allah independently, singly, or they can be joined with other names. In any case, whether they are used singly or collectively, they indicate a meaning of perfection. Okay, they don't have to be combined with another name. Okay, give me an example of the names that have to be combined with its opposite. Give me an example of that name and its opposite. Naam, Musa.
Ad-dar
an-nafi'. Ad-dar an-nafi'. Naam, meaning?
The one that causes harm,
and the one that gives benefit. Now, you can't say that Allah is the one who causes harm without saying that also, yeah, He causes harm to those who deserve it, but He also gives benefit to those who deserve it, according to His wisdom and His bounty and favor. Now, give me another example of names that have to be used with its opposite. It has to be used with its opposite. Now, Al-Khafid. Uh-huh.
Al-Rafi'.
What does it mean of Khafid? Somebody. Not Khaliq. Khafid. What does it mean of Khafid? Who brings down. Yes. Who brings down. And the opposite of it is? Al-Rafi', the one who raises up. Naam. And he gave other examples. Right? He said what? Naam.
Al-Mu'izz.
Al-Muzil, Naam, the one who
honors
and humiliates, Naam. And he gave one more example, if somebody remembers. Okay, the one who gives and the one who withholds, Naam. What is that? Al-Mu'ati, Al-Mani', Naam. Fayyib. Okay, and we also mentioned that along with those are, is another name the Shaykh mentioned, Al-Muntaqim. And he said that this name is always used with in a restricted manner. Yani Allah is Al-Muntaqim, the one who takes exact retribution, but only from those who deserve it. And that's why he said he is the one, we are the one who take retribution from who? Al-Mujrimeen, from the criminals, Naam, and so on. So this was also added to the second division. Okay, next question, question 59. It has already been mentioned that the sifat of Allah, the Most High, include those which are thatiyya, yani related to His divine being, to Himself, to His essence, and those which are fi'liyah, related to His actions, yani His actions that He does whenever He wills. Give examples of sifat as that, characteristics of His divine being from the Quran. And the next question is examples of sifat as thatiyah from the Sunnah. So what are some examples of Allah's sifat? As sifat as thatiyah, yani those sifat which are found in the Quran first, that relate to Allah's divine being, that are inseparable from Him, that He's always described with, that are not related to His will, that He only does what He will. Rather, He's always described with these characteristics from what the Shaykh mentioned last week. Give me one. Naam. Yes.
Surah 21, verse 88.
Naam. Everything will perish except His face. Fayyib. What is the sifa? What is the sifa in this ayah?
Al-Wajh.
Al-Wajh. Naam. So this is a characteristic of Allah's that, of His divine being, that He's always described with. This is a characteristic that's not related to His will, that He's described with it if He wills or He does something when He wills. Blah. This is inseparable from Him. Naam. That's one, His face. Another one. Naam. Mabsoot Fatani.
Yes.
Naam.
And both of his hands are wildly outstretched.
Both of his hands are widely outstretched. So what is the sifa in this ayah? What sifa is being described here? Huh? Yad, yadan. His two hands. Now, another one. What else did the Shaykh mention? Musa. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. Now, what does this mean? 4:146. Allah spoke with Musa with real speech. So it's the characteristic of what? Speaking, speech. Now, what else? Another one. Another characteristic of Allah's divine being. Now, His eyes. Now, the Shaykh mentioned what in reference to that? Which ayah? Anybody remember the ayah? Now. Chapter 20, ayah 39. So that you will be brought up under my eye. Yani, so that you will be raised or reared under Allah's eye. This is affirmation of what? That Allah has an eye. In fact, we know that Allah has eyes. And in other ayahs, we know Allah mentioned about His eyes. Okay, in the plural form. And in the sunnah also, some hadith came, and which made clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does have eyes, and that He has two eyes, in fact. We'll see from the proofs from the sunnah. Was there any other description that the Shaykh mentioned that we didn't mention yet? Now. Absir bihi wa asmi. Now, what does this mean? How clearly He sees and hears. How perfect is Allah's seeing and His hearing. Naam. So what does this indicate? Which sifa? Which description? Which characteristic? Hearing and seeing. Hearing and seeing. Tayyib. How many sifat of this? How many sifat did the Shaykh mention? How many were there? Huh? Seven. Seven. You said seven. Tayyib, who can name seven of them? Just give me what they are. Seven. Seven sifat of Allah's that related to His divine being that He's always described with. Now, who can name seven of them without looking in a book? If you looked already, it's no problem. But don't look now while you're answering. If you can't complete it, somebody will help you, inshallah. So listen up so you can help. Now, who wants to start with us? Go ahead. As-sam wal-basr. Tayyib. Hearing and seeing. That's two. A wedge. His face. That's three. Speech, kalam. That's four. Three more. Somebody help. Yadain, two hands. Nam. His eyes. Nam. No, we didn't mention that. We didn't mention it. Sheikh didn't mention it. Naam, that's from his sifat, but he didn't mention it. Tayyib. That's six? Did he mention that from the Quran?
No?
Tayyib. Huh? Yeah, knowledge is from his sifat, naam, that he's always described with. Naam. The Sheikh mentioned, he mentioned that. He mentioned face, mentioned eyes, mentioned hands, mentioned hearing, and seeing, and speech, and knowledge. Naam. But he said, the sifat that the Shaykh intended from this is what? That he said, I am with you. Inni ma'akuma asma'u wa ara. Asma'u, I hear and I see. That means he's affirming what? Hearing and sight. He's affirming hearing and sight. But knowledge, naam, knowledge. What's the verse? يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يَحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. What surah is it?
Taha.
Taha, 20th surah? Huh?
Ayah
46. Ayah 46, type knowledge. So that's 7. Okay, before we go to the next question, in the sifat, and the next question, in the sifat of Allah is that are from the sunnah, the Shaykh mentioned 8 characteristics. Those 7 that we have mentioned and one extra one. Who knows what is the 8th one? The 8th characteristic that the Shaykh mentioned under the sifat of Allah is that's related to His divine being that came from the sunnah. He mentioned 8 characteristics and we just mentioned 7 of them. So he mentioned those 7 with hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, like in this question we said what? Give examples of sifat, that characters of Allah's divine being from the sunnah. And he mentioned some hadith which prove those seven that we already mentioned. And there was an eighth one. Naam, what is it? Qariban. Allah is qarib, naam. But that is not one of his absolute sifat. Requires some explanation. But in that ayah, he intended to affirm hearing, sami and basira. Naam. Hearing and seeing. Huh? No. He's mentioned alim, ilm, knowledge. He mentioned that. Okay, it's from the hadith. It's from the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the supplication of istikhara. Naam, Aki, what's your name? Muhammad. Yes. He didn't mention that. Naam. Allah has feet. Naam, but he didn't mention that. From what the Shaykh mentioned last week, he mentioned hadith, and one of those hadith confirms another sifa of Allah that wasn't mentioned in the sifat that we mentioned from the Quran. It's from the hadith of istikhara. Who knows the dua of istikhara? Huh? Qudra. Power. Naam. Naam. Astaqdiruka bi qudratika. Naam. That I seek power from your power. And you give me the ability to do what I have to do. Naam. So these are eight characteristics of Allah's divine being. His face, and his hands, and his eyes, and his hearing, and his sight, and his speech, and his knowledge, and his power. That came from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And Allah has many sifat that are confirmed either in the Quran or the Sunnah. And these are some of them that the Shaykh has mentioned here. And as we go along, we'll see the other sifat tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, of Allah's actions. In any case, it is incumbent upon us to read the Quran and try to identify, when you're reading the Quran, those things, those ayats that are describing Allah with characteristics of His divine being, His self, that are inseparable from Him, that He's always described with, as well as those characteristics that are of His actions, that He is described with doing whenever He wills, in however manner He wills. We have to identify them so that we can begin to know Allah better. This is really the objective. Allah has revealed these things to us, His names and His sifat, so that we can know Him. Because in knowing Him, this will cause us to love Him, and to exalt Him, and to honor Him, and to fear Him, and to have hope in Him, and to worship Him alone. Naam. So it's incumbent upon us to read the Quran and to look for the descriptions of Allah, whether His names or His sifat, to identify them, to reflect upon them, if we can read the tafsir, to understand them better, and to try to inculcate these characteristics into our heart and our mind so that we establish a relationship with Allah based on knowledge of who we are worshipping, who we are calling upon. When we are in need, we will call upon Him because He is the one who has power over everything. Naam. And when we are tempted by shaitan to say something that we shouldn't be saying, we'll remember that Allah is what? As-Sami'. He hears everything. And when we are doing something or going someplace or in some place where we're not supposed to be, we remember that Allah sees us. He is Al-Basir. Naam. And He is Al-Khabir. He's aware of everything, even what we are thinking, planning. Naam. This is the idea, that we take this into our heart and into our mind, and then we try to live by it. This will help us, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Tonight, the questions that we're going to deal with are question number 61 and question number 62. Before we read the question, I just want to add one point to what we discussed last week. Last week, we talked about some of the reasons. We mentioned two reasons why it is so important to know and to understand and to research and to learn about, to seek out this knowledge of Allah's beautiful names and His lofty characteristics. Some of the reasons why this is so important. We mentioned two of them last week. And tonight I want to mention a third one. Does anybody remember, just briefly, what we mentioned last week, one point, why it is so important to study the names of Allah and His characteristics? Naam. Salih.
The study of Allah Sifat and Asma is the most noble of the science of Islam, because the nobility comes from the note that Allah is the most noble.
Naam. One of them was what? What he just said. That the most noble of all knowledge, of all studies, of all research, is the knowledge of Allah and His names and His characteristics. And that is because the nobility, the excellence, the superiority of any knowledge is based on what is its subject. And this knowledge is, what is the subject of this knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. So there's no knowledge that's superior to that, that's more exalted, that's more, yani, noble than this knowledge. This is one reason why it's important to study this. And a second reason. Does anybody remember the second reason? Naam, Ahmed.
It will motivate you to be able to love Allah
more,
and it will motivate you to exalt Him and have more fear of Him, more hope in Him.
Naam.
And allow you to achieve that.
Naam. This knowledge, seeking this knowledge and grasping this knowledge and understanding this knowledge will motivate a person, will inspire a person, will call a person to love Allah more and to exalt Him and to honor Him and to have hope in Him and to worship Him with ikhlas. The one who knows Allah by His names and His characteristics well, this will be a motivation for that person to worship Allah alone with ikhlas. And what could be a greater need for the human being than to achieve this love of Allah, exaltation of Allah, glorification of Allah, honoring of Allah, and worshipping Allah with ikhlas? What greater need does a human being have than this? So this is also a reason for the importance of studying the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat. And tonight I want to mention a third reason, and that is, the Shaykh says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْقَلْقَ وَأَوْجَدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعَدَمِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, brought it into existence from non-existence, from nothing. Brought it into existence from nothing. وَسَخَّرَ لَهُمَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا فِيهِنَّ, and He subjected to them, made subservient to them, yani the creatures, these creatures that He created, the human being first, meaning we mean here by that, the human being, and He subjected to the human being, the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it, for a purpose. لِيَعْرِفُوهُ وَيَعْبُدُوهُ, for the purpose of knowing Him. Created the heavens and earth and everything in it for what? So that the human being will know their Creator. You will know Him through His, what He has created. And knowing Him for what? In order to worship Him. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 12th Ayat. Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin ومن الأرض مثلهن يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. That Allah is the one who created the seven heavens and from the earth مثلهن, يعني seven earths, and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends between them, between the heavens and the earth, for what purpose? لِتَعْلَمُوا, so that you people will know that Allah has knowledge, that Allah is عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, that Allah has power over everything, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا, and that Allah has surrounded, has encompassed everything in His knowledge. That what? Allah has power over everything. So you will know Allah has power over everything. And so you will know that Allah has knowledge of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st, Surah, 56 ayah, or 56 and 57, 58, naam, together. He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I have not created the jinn and the mankind except that they may worship Me alone with tawheed. This is the purpose of why we were created. This is why Allah created the man and jinn, so that they may worship Him alone. ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون. I do not want from them provisions, nor do I want from them that they feed. And he feed his creatures. Allah, his creatures doesn't need provisions from you. They don't need to be fed by you. Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو قُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Because Allah, he is the provider. He is the one who possesses quwwah, power. And al-mateen, he is firm. So this ayah also is for what? For us to know what? That the very purpose for which we were created is to worship him. And then the Shaykh says, فَهَذِهِ الْغَايَةِ الَّتِي خُلِقَ الْخَلْقِ لِأَجْلِهَا وَأُوجِدُوا لِتَحْقِيقِهَا. This is the very purpose for which the creation was created. Yani for this purpose, they were brought into existence. We were brought into existence to realize, to achieve this purpose. To know Allah so that we may worship Him. To know Allah so we may worship Him. فَالْإِشْتِغَالُ بِمَعْرِفِةِ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. So being busy, being occupied with being aware, having knowledge of the names of Allah and His sifat. This is إِشْتِغَالُ بِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ الْعَبْدِ. This is the thing. This is being busy, being occupied with the thing for which the servant was created. The very thing for which he was created is for this purpose. وَتَرْكُهُ وَتَضْيِيعُهُ إِحْمَالٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. And leaving it, and wasting it, letting it go to waste, this is abandoning the very purpose for which we were created. The very purpose for which we were created is what? Is to know Allah through His creation, His actions, and what He has created. And to know that He deserves to be worshipped alone. This is the purpose for which we were created. So whoever busies themselves with knowing Allah through His names and sifat, they have busied themselves with the very thing for which Allah created His abd. And whoever leaves this and abandons it and lets it go to waste, they have abandoned the thing, the purpose for which they were created. Meaning their existence is any useless. And then the Shaykh closed and he said, وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لِعَبْدٍ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ عَظِيمٌ وَنِعْمُهُ عَلَيْهِ مُتَوَالِيَةٌ أَنْ يَكُونَ جَاهِلًا بِرَبِّهِ مُعْرِضًا عَنْ مَعَارِفَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. And it is not right. لَا يَنْبَغِي. For the abd, the one who Allah has created as His slave, as His worshipper, it is not proper, it is not fitting, it is not permissible for the abd whose favor of Allah upon him is azim, and who has been favored by Allah with a great favor. Not only He has created us, and He has given us hearing and sight and intellect and ability to do things, He has fed us, He has given us everything that we need, He protects us, He guides us, everything that He has given us, this is fadl azim. It is not proper for the abd, who Allah's favor upon him is like this, who Allah's favor upon him is mutawaliya, continuous. It doesn't stop. It's not like somebody did you a favor once or twice. Maybe they did a big favor for you. Maybe somebody, one time you was really in need to pay your rent. You needed $1,000. Somebody said, hey, $1,000, you don't got to pay it back. That's a big favor. But you did it one time. But Allah's favor upon us is mutawaliya, continuous, ongoing, all the time, non-stop. Every day He is giving you air to breathe and the ability to utilize it. Every day He is giving you sight to see and hearing to hear with, and an intellect and a brain and a mind and a heart to think and to live and to enjoy life and to do the things that you need to do so that you can have peace and tranquility in this world. So that if you worship Allah, you have the perfect peace and tranquility in the next life. Allah is the one who gave you all of this. Continuously ongoing. Then it's not befitting of the abd who Allah has given such favors to. That they what? That they be ignorant of their Rabb. And that they turn away from this knowledge of their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not befitting of a Muslim to be ignorant of their Lord. It's not befitting of us to stay in this condition of ignorance and we don't know our Lord. We don't know His names. We don't know His sifat. We don't know. That's unbefitting of the abd who Allah has favored in this way. And it's unbefitting of the abd who Allah has favored like this to turn away from this knowledge. To say, I don't need that. I'm busy, I got more important things to be doing. Allah musta'an. This is our condition. The people don't know Allah And they don't want to know. I'm talking about the Muslims. How many people know the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat? Just knowing Allah's names and Sifat and the rules and guidelines that are in the Sharia, that are in the Sunnah, for us understanding them properly and then applying them in our life. How many people know, has this knowledge? And who is without need of it? Yeah, this is Shaykh Abdul Razak in his book, Fiqh Al-Ada'iyya Wal-Adhkar. This is a tremendous book. Tremendous book. Not translated. The Fiqh of Ada'iyya Wal-Adhkar. Yani the Fiqh of the supplications and the words of remembrance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Naam. Tayyib. In the time that's remaining, inshallah, we'd like to look at 7 ayats from the Qur'an and a similar number of hadith, 6 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that are related to the sifat of Allah, but not the sifat of His that, not the sifat dhatiyya, related to His divine being, but the sifat fi'liyya, sifat al-af'al, the sifat related to His actions. And what do we mean by sifat of af'al? We mean those sifat, descriptions, characteristics, qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are from His actions which He does whenever He wills. Not the sifat that He's always described with. That we, like what we just got finished mentioning, His face and His hands, yarhamukallah, and His power and His highness, His loftiness and so on. Not these kind of sifat that He's always described it. Rather, we're talking about the sifat that are connected to His mashia, His will. Meaning He does whenever He wills. Whenever He wills. He does them whatever He wills. Sifat of His actions. And sometimes a sifa might be a sifa that He's described with permanently, continuously, from the beginning, awwalan wa akhiran, from the beginning to the end. And at the same time, it may be something that He does sometimes when He wills also. That's possible. Like the characteristic of speech, kalam. And we'll talk about, and the Shaykh talks about it in detail in a later place, but we'll talk about it a little bit tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, question number 61. Give examples of sifat al-af'al, characteristics of His actions from the Qur'an. These are things that we need to know. Some of these things we already know, alhamdulillah. And some of them we may not know. Or some of them we have read, but we didn't pay attention to it. So now we want to pay attention to it. So we know this is from the characteristics that we may ascribe to Allah. That Allah, this is from His actions. Allah does this. Naam. Do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes becomes angry? Naam, that's a fact. And sometimes He's pleased. And He's angry with some people and He's pleased with other people. Naam. So these are sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah laughs. Believe it or not. Although we're not going to mention, the Shaykh didn't mention that tonight, but I mean, some people might say, Allah laughs. Yes. Because we believe whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with, whether in the Qur'an or in the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in authentic hadith, we believe it. Because Allah knows best, and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows best what is befitting of Him and how what He can be described with. So if we found Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing Himself with something in the Qur'an, we accept it, uncontested. We affirm it, we believe in it, but we don't explain the how of it. Because we don't know the how of it. The reality of how Allah does it, that's divine. And the human being is imperfect, and not capable of understanding the divine on that level. But we know that yes, Allah ascends and Allah descends. And Allah will come on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Exactly how it will be, how does He ascend and descend, we don't know the how of it. But we believe it because He said it. And the Prophet ﷺ said it. We don't explain the how of it. But we must believe in it. It's obligatory. So from the Qur'an, the first example the Shaykh gives from the actions, the sifat, characteristics, qualities or descriptions of Allah's actions from the Qur'an, he says, مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 29th ayat, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. And the Shaykh only mentioned part of this ayat, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. That's the only part of the ayat he mentioned. But we want to put it in the context so it's more clear to us. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He is the one who created for you everything that is in the earth for the human being. Allah created all of this for the human being to enable them to be in a good condition to worship Him the way He deserves to be worshipped. So all this He has made subservient to the human being. وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Except if Allah has prohibited something in the Quran or through the Prophet ﷺ. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Then He istawa, then He rose over or towards the heaven. إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتِ. And then He made them into seven heavens. And He made them evenly, proportioned, perfectly. سَوَّاهُنَّ. Evenly proportioned, perfectly made, everything in the proper balance. As seven heavens. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And He is the one who has knowledge of everything. The all-knower of everything. Al-Aleem. And this is from His sifat al-Dhatiyya, that He has knowledge. That we mentioned in the past discussion about His sifat al-Dhatiyya. Here, the Shaykh intends to establish as from the sifat of Allah, from His actions, is that He istawa, thumma istawa ila sama, that He ascended to the heavens. And this requires some discussion, but we're not going to discuss it in detail today. I'm just going to allude to the point that in this ayat Allah used the word, He mentioned this expression in this way, thumma istawa ila sama. He used the preposition harf ja ila. And the scholars of the Sunnah say that al-istiwa has three different possible meanings, according to whether or not it's used with a preposition, or it's used without a preposition. And if it's used with a preposition, whether the preposition is ila or ala. Okay? So, the meaning of it, if it's used without a preposition, it means al-kamal, to become perfect and complete. And this came in the Quran. And if it's used with the preposition ala, it means to rise up. Al-irtifa' wal-ulu, to rise up, to ascend, and to be above, to be high and lofty. And if it's used with the preposition ila, it means al-qasd. Yani to go towards something, to have intention to do something, to have it as an objective or a goal. And some of the scholars, or most of the scholars said, this is the meaning in this ayat. Then He rose over or towards the heaven and made them seven heavens. Meaning after He created the earth and what is in it, then He intended to create the heavens and He ascended to the heavens and made them as seven, yani well-proportioned, balanced, yani heavens. But some of the scholars said that the meaning here is also al-ulu, wal-irtifa, wal-sa'ud. That means that He ascended up, that He rose high, that He was high above. And this is what the Shaykh al-Hafidh Hakimi, this is what he intended by this ayat here. He intended to affirm al-istiwa, that Allah ascends. That Allah ascended, that He rose up high. إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. In any case, there are many other verses, ayats in the Qur'an that mention the same al-istiwa, mentioning the same characteristic of Allah, and mention it with the preposition ala, such as in Surah Al-Hadid 57, Surah 4th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتِوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. That He is the one who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, and then He ascended up, over and above the arsh. 57th Surah, 4th ayat. And there's at least seven different ayats in the Quran with this exact wording, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَىٰ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, which prove that Allah definitely did ascend high above, over the arsh. And the arsh is above everything in the whole creation. The arsh is above everything in the whole creation, and Allah ascended above the arsh. So here we have what? The affirmation of al-istiwa, Allah's ascending, ascension, and His ulu, His highness. In the second ayah, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Baqarah also, second surah, 210th ayah, 210. And here the Shaykh, he mentions this part of the ayah. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا إِيَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Yani, do they wait for anything other than Allah should come to them? Are they waiting for anything other than Allah will come to them? Yani on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is this what they're waiting for, the disbelievers, the criminals, the sinners? Are they waiting? Yani they are not concerned, they are not afraid, they are just waiting until Allah comes on the Day of Judgment to reward and punish. That's what they're waiting for? They're waiting for Allah to settle the affair, to settle their accounts, to reward and punish. This ayah, the scholars say, this is like a threat to the people disobedient to Allah and the disbelievers. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Are they waiting for anything then that Allah should come to them? فِي ذُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرَ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. Are they waiting for anything except that Allah should come to them in the shadows of the clouds and the angels along with Him? وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرَ. In that case, the matter would be finished. It would be decided. It's too late then. When Allah comes on that day, khalas, the matter is finished. There's nothing that can be done then. That's too late. It's over. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. And all affairs are returned to Allah to decide, to judge. So in this ayat, the wording that's used in this ayat, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَيْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ. يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ, this is اتيان, the coming of Allah. Is this what they're waiting for? So this is from the sifat of Allah's actions, that He will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Naam. For judgment. And the matter will be finished. And the third ayat the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 67th ayat. And the Shaykh mentions part of this ayat also, most of it he mentions, the saying of Allah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. That they did not give just estimation to Allah, meaning they didn't give Allah His full due. They didn't see Allah as He is, with His greatness and His glory and His magnificence and His power and His supremacy. مَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Meaning the mushrikeen, the kuffar, they didn't give Allah His due right. They didn't see Allah as He really is, how great He is, and that He alone deserves to be worshipped. They didn't see this. And then Allah says, after saying that, وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the earth, all of it, the whole of it, will be in His grip, and in His grasp. قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, the whole earth, everything, it will be in His grip, in His grasp. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. And the heavens, all of them, will be rolled up in His right hand. The heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. And this is what showing us the greatness of Allah. This is Allah like that, and they worshiping something besides Him, that means they didn't give Allah His just due. Wallahi, didn't give Allah His just due. And sometimes we don't give Allah His just due. Because if we know that this is Allah, how then do we disobey Him? Knowing that. Knowing that, how great He is. Forget about what He has given us. Just His greatness alone. From that alone, He deserves to be worshipped alone. Not to mention what He has given to us and how He has favored us. And yet we disobey Him casually. May Allah save us from the ignorance of ourselves and our behavior. And Allah ends by saying, Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Yani Subhana. This is the declaration that Allah is free from all imperfections. Wa ta'ala, and He is most high. Above what they associate with Him, the pagan disbelievers, that they make partners with Him. And the fourth ayat. And this ayat that we just mentioned confirms what? Al-Qabd. Allah's grasping or gripping in His hand, that He will grasp or He will grip in His hand the whole of the earth. And in His right hand will be rolled up to heavens. And the fourth ayah that the Shaykh mentions, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 38, ayah 75. And the Shaykh mentions this part of this ayah. مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. What has prevented you from prostrating to that which I have created with my own two hands? بِيَدَيَّ. With my own two hands. Allah is talking to who? Iblis. He is saying to Iblis, Ya Iblis, ma mana'aka. What is it that prevents you from prostrating to the one whom I have created with my own hands? Yani, what could possibly be a reason to prevent you from this creature that I have created with my own hands, as opposed to the rest of the creation of everything else that exists? This one I have created with my own hands. This is the honor that He has given to the human being. And you don't find it possible to prostrate to Him when I have commanded you? to this honored creature that I have created? And it's only out of pride. Only out of pride that prevented Iblis from prostrating by the command of Allah to the one that Allah commanded him to prostrate to, and the one that Allah has honored by creating, yani Adam alayhi salam, with his own two hands. And this ayat confirms the characteristic of Allah's action of what? Creation. Lima khalaqtu, that which I have khalaqtu bi yadayya, I've created with my own two hands. And the fifth ayat the Shaykh mentions, which is a confirmation of kitab, of writing, that Allah writes. That Allah writes. The saying of Allah in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 145th ayat. وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِظَةً وَتَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The Shaykh mentions the ayat like that, and the ayat goes on to say, فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ وَأْمُرْ قَوْمَكَ يَأْخُذُوا بِأَحْسَنِهَا سَأُورِيكُمْ دَارُ الْفَاسِقِينَ وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِظَةً وَتَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And we wrote for him in the tablets, yani in the Torah, for Musa alayhi salam. We have written for him in those tablets, مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِظَةً, yani lessons to be drawn, warnings from everything, وَتَفْصِيلًا, and explanations, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, of everything. So take it with firmness, بِقُوَّةٍ, and command your people with it, to take the best from it, and we will show you the home of the fasiqeen, دارُ الفاسقين, yani those, the rebellious, the disobedient, the sinners, the kuffar. We will show you what will be the end of those who, and he refused to obey Allah's command and to believe in Him and to worship Him. We will show you what will be the end of those. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirming for Himself, وَكَتَبْنَا, we have written. Allah Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, we have written فِي الْأَلْوَاحِ, in the tablets that were given to Musa alayhi salam, everything, every type of warning and instruction, explanation. So command your people with it and to take hold of the best of it, and in that which will help them to be in a good condition to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sixth ayah, the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-A'raf also, ayah 143. And the Shaykh mentions a part of this ayah, very long ayah, and the context of it is very important, but the Shaykh, he mentions, فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعْلَهُ دَكَّا. So when His Lord appeared to the mountain, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He revealed Himself, made Himself manifest in front of the mountain, He made it collapse, to crumble to dust. The mountain crumbled to dust. Naam. And what is the sifa in this ayat that the Shaykh is intending to confirm by this ayat? Tajallin. And Surah Al-A'raf. Surah Al-A'raf. 7th Surah. 143rd ayat. He intends to confirm what? Tajallin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appeared. He appeared. And He manifested Himself. He revealed Himself in front of the mountain and caused the mountain to what? Crumble. A mountain, na'am. And what is the context of this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِقَاتِنَا, that when Musa came to our appointed place and time, when Allah appointed a time to meet with him, when he left his people and went to meet Allah, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ, and his Rabb spoke to him. And this is also from Allah's yani sifat, that Allah spoke to Musa on that specific occasion. His Rabb spoke to him, وَقَالَ رَبِّي أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ, and then he said, oh my Lord, let me see you, let me look at you, أَرِنِي, show yourself to me so that I may look at you. And the scholars of tafsir say that when Musa alayhi salam heard Allah's voice, then he had a desire now to see him. It wasn't enough. When he heard his words, he wanted to see him now. Subhanallah. But you can't see Allah in this dunya. Human being hasn't been created like that. But in the next life, it will be the greatest reward that a human being received, to see the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah spoke to him, then Musa said, oh my Lord, show me yourself so that I may look at you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي, you will never see me, meaning in this dunya. وَلَكِنْ انظر إلى الجبل. But look at the mountain. فإن استقر مكانه فسوف تراني. And if it remains firm in its place, then you will see me. But if the mountain can't remain firm in seeing me, what about you, Musa, human being? نعم. فلما تجلى ربه للجبل جعله دكا. So when Allah appeared and revealed himself to the mountain, it crumbled. He caused it to crumble to dust. وخر موسى صعقا. And Musa also fell down, prostrate and unconscious. فلما أفاق قال سبحانك تبت إليك وأنا أول المؤمنين. But when he regained his consciousness, he said سبحانك. يعني oh Allah, oh how perfect is Allah. تبت إليك. I repent to you for asking a question that was out of place. That's out of place. نعم. That's not the time to see Allah. وأنا أول المؤمنين. And I am the first of the believers. يعني from his people. And then the Shaykh mentions, and this ayah the Shaykh intends to confirm what? Allah's appearing, revealing himself, manifesting himself, that Allah would do so, that Allah did so at that time in front of the mountain. And he revealed himself to the mountain and caused the mountain to crumble, and also caused Musa, who didn't see Allah, but just the glory of Allah on the mountain caused him to fall down and to become unconscious. And also in this ayah is Allah speaking. He spoke to Musa also in this ayah. And that's not what the Shaykh intended, because he only mentioned this part of the ayat that talks about Allah's appearing, uncovering himself, revealing himself. And then the Shaykh mentions the last ayat here from Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 18th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh just mentions the end of a long ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ, that Allah does whatever He wills. This is from Allah's sifat, that He is the one who does whatever He wills. Al-fa'alu lima yurid. He is the one who does whatever He wills. And this ayat, He said what? Inna Allah yaf'alu ma yasha. Allah does whatever He wills. This is important for us to know. Allah does whatever He wills. So a believer, a mu'min, a Muslim, a Abdullah, should never feel helpless, because his Lord is the one who does whatever He wills. But the problem with us is our relationship with Allah is not there, because we are not obedient to Allah like we should be. So then we may feel like we don't have that kind of connection. But the one who's obedient to Allah, as the prophets and messengers and the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, then he can call on his Lord, knowing that He will answer. And we can call on Allah and He will answer too. But isn't it better that a person is obedient to their Lord, so that when they call on Him, they feel like, you know, I'm not out of place. You know, your children, those of you who have children, when they are disobedient to you, no, they won't have the nerve to come and ask for a favor. Something extra, right? And they know that you're upset with them. That you're angry with them. Because you told them to do something, they do something else. You told them don't do something, they do it anyway. And then after that, when you tell them, why'd you do that? And then they're going to come to you and say, give me a couple of extra dollars, Dad. Get out of here. You know they're not going to ask you for that, because they're out of place. So we are the same way with our Rabb. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلَ الْعَالَى. And Allah is the most perfect, the highest descriptions. And there's no comparison between the creatures and the Creator. But we're just saying examples so we can understand better something about how this works. That the person who's obedient to Allah feels comfortable to go and ask their Lord. Especially when He said, call on me and I will answer you. And in this ayat, you have to go back and read the ayat, 22:18, but it's not time to read it now. But in any case, subhanAllah, it's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous ayat. And in the end of the ayat, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُحِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُقْرِمٍ. And whoever Allah humiliates, then there's no one who can honor him. Whoever Allah humiliates, there's no one who can honor him. And who has Allah humiliated? The people who refuse to prostrate to him, to submit to him, to worship him. He humiliates them. The kuffar, the mushrikeen, are humiliated in this dunya and more so on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But even in this dunya, Allah honors the believers. Na'am. Even if you don't have fine clothing and a big house and a car, but Allah honors the believers, because people who worship Allah are honorable and other people are despicable. People who don't worship their Allah are despicable. Allah lowers them. And especially in the sight of Allah, and that's what's most important. Not in the sight of how the people, the masses of people look at you because you're the president. And they look at you like that because you have a position, but they might be hating you anyway in reality. But they're not going to tell you because they think they might be able to get something from you. Like the people in this society and in the whole world, they hate the Yahud. But they don't want to tell them that in their face, because they're scared of them. Because they're controlling everything, controlling the money and controlling. But Allah is the one who controls everything, and Allah is the one who owns everything. And this is what we should be really more concerned about. How Allah sees you. Allah is the one, if He humiliates someone, there's no one who can honor them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. He does whatever He wills. Please read this ayat, 22:18. And from the sunnah, the Shaykh, he mentioned 6 hadith here. And really these hadith require some discussion, but we're not going to be able to discuss them in detail. These hadith require some discussion. Naam. But we're not going to be able to discuss them tonight in detail. So we'll just go through them quickly in the time that remains. The first, and this is question number 62, give examples of sifat al-afa'al, characteristics of his actions from the sunnah. And the first one that the Shaykh mentions, the first sifa of Allah's actions, yani those characteristics, those descriptions or qualities that are connected to Allah's will, His Mashiach, yani that He does whenever He wills. From the first of them, he mentions what? An-Nuzul, that Allah descends. Allah is high. Al-Ali, Al-A'la, Al-Muta'al. Naam. But there's some time when Allah wills and He descends. Naam. He descends to Al-Sama' al-Dunya, the heaven of this dunya, the lowest heaven that's above the earth. He descends, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and others from Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرِ. That our Rabb descends every single night to the heaven of this dunya, the lowest heaven, at the time when the last third of the night remains. Yani when one third of the night remains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the Sama' dunya. The Shaykh mentioned it like that. And the rest of the hadith, in some of the narrations, it says that the Prophet ﷺ said, when Allah descends, he says, يَقُولُ مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ. Or, أَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ, in some of the narrations. And the meaning is the same. Who will supplicate to me so that I may answer him? Allah is mujib al-du'a, the one who answers du'a. So he's saying, at that time especially, he says, when he descends, who will call upon me, who will supplicate to me so that I may answer him? من يسألني فأعطيه أعطيه. Who will ask me for something so that I may give it to him? من يستغفرني فأغفر له. Who will seek forgiveness from me so that I may forgive him? This hadith is azim. This hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim, as I said, and others. And what we want to say here is that the Prophet ﷺ was Sadiq al-Masduq, the truthful one, who what he says should be believed and confirmed as being the truth. He is the one who said that Allah descends every single night when one third of the night remains. What are we doing at that time? That's what we need to, that's what I have to ask myself, and you have to ask yourself. What are you doing at that time? Every single night, not once a year, not just in Ramadan, Hajj time, Yawm al-Arafah, kulla laylatin rabbuna yanzil ila sama' ad-dunya. And he asks, who will supplicate to me? So I will answer him. You have something you want to supplicate to Allah for? Get up in the last third of the night. Even the last hour of the night, last half an hour, some part of it, in the last third of the night, get up and ask Allah for something, call upon Him, He will answer you. Ask Him for something, He will give it to you. If you have committed sins, and every Bani Adam is khatta'un, is a sinner, then ask for forgiveness. He said, who will ask for forgiveness? So I will forgive him. That's Allah saying that. Who will ask me for forgiveness? I want to forgive you, but you got to ask. But we didn't ask. Because the sleep is too sweet. And the second hadith that the Shaykh mentions is a hadith also reported in Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. Now, the descending and nuzul, that Allah descends. Naam. That's one of His characteristics of action, that He descends. He does that whenever He wills. And when He wills right now is in the last third of the night. But Allah, He does whatever He wills, whenever He wills. But this descending, we know from the Prophet ﷺ that Allah wills to do it in the last third of the night. Wherever you are on the earth, in this dunya that belongs to Allah, without reference to time or space. Because none of that is yani applicable to Allah. He is outside the realm of time and space. Wherever you are in the earth, in the universe, at any time, when it's the last third of the night, then Allah descends. And He's waiting for you to ask Him. This hadith is a very long hadith. And the hadith is in Bukhari and others, as I said, in Muslim. But I just want to read part of the hadith. The Shaykh says, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, the hadith of shafa'ah. What is a shafa'ah? Intercession. Intercession. This is the hadith of intercession. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow on Yawm al-Qiyamah some people to intercede for others. But we're not talking about intercession tonight, but this is known as the hadith of intercession. The Shaykh says, فَيَأْتِيَهُمْ فَيَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي سُورَتِهِ التي يعرفون فيقول أنا ربكم فيقولون أنت ربنا. That Allah will come to them, to the people, and here He's talking about the Muslims. He will come to them في صورته, in His image, التي يعرفون, the image that they know Him by. The one that they, when they see it, that image, they will know Him by that image. And He will say, I am your Rabb. And they will say, أنت ربنا. Yes, you are our Rabb. But I want to put this hadith in context so that it has a little bit greater meaning. The Shaykh says, we mean the sifat al-fi'l, the characteristic of action in this hadith that he intends to confirm is al-ityan, Allah's coming, that He will come. فَيَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ Allah will come to them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. I want to put it in context. I'm not going to read the whole hadith because it'll take about a half an hour to read the whole hadith. But part of the hadith, I'll just read it quickly. That the people said, Ya Rasulullah, هَلْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ Will we see our Rabb on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Some Muslims said to the Prophet ﷺ, will we see our Rabb on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Will we see Him? And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, do you have any difficulty in seeing the moon on the night when the moon is full? They said, no, O Messenger of Allah, we have no difficulty in seeing. Do you have any difficulty in seeing the sun when there are no clouds between you and the sun? Do you have any difficulty in seeing the sun when it's shining in the sky? They said, La ya Rasulullah. We have no difficulty in seeing the sun when it's not cloudy. He said, فَإِنَّكُمْ تَرَوْنَهُ كَذَلِكَ Then you will see him just like that. You will see him clearly. This is the way you see the moon when it's full in the night. And the way you see the sun when there are no clouds in the sky. When it's high in the sky. And then he said, يَجْمَعُ اللَّهَ النَّاسِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ Then Allah will collect all the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah. All the people, all human beings. And he will say, whoever used to worship something, then follow it. Get behind it. Go with that which you used to worship. So, whoever used to worship the sun, they will follow the sun. And whoever used to worship the moon, they will follow the moon. And whoever used to worship the tawaghit, the things that are worshipped besides Allah, false rulers or whatever, they will follow them. وَتَبْقَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ فِيهَا مُنَافِقُوهَا And what will remain after all the people follow everything they worship is only this ummah. But amongst them will be its hypocrites. And the hypocrites will still remain amongst them. Hypocrites from this ummah. فَيَأْتِيهِمُ اللَّهِ Here's where the Shaykh mentioned the hadith. Then Allah will come to them, meaning to the Muslim ummah. All the rest of the people are already gone. They follow whatever they used to worship. Whoever worshipped Isa, whoever worshipped Musa, whoever worshipped angels, whoever worshipped anything, they're gone already. The only people who remain is the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah will come to them and He will say, I am your Rabb. And they will say, فَيَقُولُونَ هَذَا مَكَانُنَا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَنَا رَبُّنَا We will stay here until our Lord comes to us. They didn't recognize Allah. They will say, this is our place. We stay right here until our Rabb comes. And the worshipers of the sun are gone. The worship of the moon are gone. People worship everything, they're gone. We're waiting for our Rabb. فَإِذَا جَاءَنَا رَبُّنَا عَرَفْنَاهُ If our Rabb comes to us, we will know Him. فَيَأْتِهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي سُورَتِهِ الَّتِي يَعْرِفُونَ Then Allah will come to them in the surah, in the image, in the form that they know. فَيَقُولَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ And then He will say to them, I am your Rabb. And they will say, أَنْتَ رَبُّنَا You are our Rabb. And then they will follow Him. And then a bridge will be placed over the hellfire. فَأَكُونُ أَنَا وَأُمَّتِي أَوَّلْ مَنْ يُجِيزُهَا. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, me and my ummah will be the first ones to cross over it. And no one will speak that day except the messengers. And their supplication, the supplication of their messengers on that day will be Allahumma sallim sallim. Allahumma sallim sallim. O Allah, make us safe from falling into the hellfire. And the hadith is very long, but you have to go back and read it, inshallah. The main thing here, the shaykh is talking about what? That Allah will come. يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي سُورَتِهِ الَّتِي يَعْرِفُونَ. The ityan, the coming of Allah. Allah will come. This hadith confirms this from the actions of Allah, that He will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And He will come to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they will recognize Him eventually. The fourth third hadith that the Shaykh mentions, and there are a lot of different narrations of this hadith, the Shaykh mentions this narration. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبِدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَ الْأَرْضِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grasp, will grip the earth on the day of resurrection. وَتَكُونُ السَّمَوَاتُ بِيَمِينِهِ. And the heavens will be in his right hand. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ. Then he will say, I am the king. That's what the Shaykh said. And in some of the narrations he said, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ مُلُوكُ الْأَرْضِ. I am the king. Where are the kings of the earth? And the people in this world, they said they were kings. Where are they now? Who will claim kingship on that day? Allah will say, أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ مُلُوكُ الْأَرْضِ. Where are the kings of the earth? Naam. And there are different narrations of this hadith that bring out different points. I just want to mention one of them. This hadith is in Bukhari. And this narration that I want to mention is mentioned by Ibn Khuzaymah. Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah, one of the great scholars of hadith. And his book, At-Tawheed, which is a very important book of Tawheed. His book is entitled At-Tawheed. In that book, there's a narration that he mentions. And he says that this narration is sahih, with the isnad that's thabit. He says, and I'll read it to you quickly. جَاءَ حِبْرٌ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Who came to the Messenger of Allah? حِبْرٌ. What's a حِبْرٌ? Not Hebrew, no. A scholar from the Jews. حِبْرٌ. Scholar, knowledgeable person from the Jews. He came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will make the heavens, He will put the heavens as samawat ala usbi'in. On one finger, and the earths on one finger, and the jibal and the shajara, the mountains and the trees on one finger, and the water and the soil from the surface of the earth on one finger. How many fingers is that? Four. Wal khalaiq kullaha ala usbin, and the rest of the creation, all of it on a finger. Thumma yahuzzuhunna, thumma yakul ana al-malik, ana al-malik. Then he will shake it up. And then he will say, I am the king. I am the king. Let me finish the narration. More important what comes than what was already preceded. The narrator said, فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ دَحِكْ حَتَّى بَدَتْ نَوَاجِذُهُ. He said, indeed, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم laughing until his, what do you call those teeth? Molar teeth were showing. He was laughing when the Yahudi said that. تَعَجُّبًا لَهُ. Yani in amazement at what he's saying. وَتَصْدِيقًا لَهُ. Confirming the truthfulness of what that Yahudi said. Prophet was laughing. He was, look at this. Yahudi saying this. The truth. ثُمَّ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Then Allah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, confirming what the Yahudi said. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. And they have not given to Allah His true estimation that He deserves. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبَضَتُهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the earth, the whole of it will be in His grip. وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّةٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. And the heavens will be rolled up in His right hand. سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah is free from all imperfections from what they attribute to Him. Naam. Yahudi came and told the truth. The Prophet, he was happy to hear this. He knows this is a fact. And Allah confirmed it in the revelation. In the Quran. And the fourth hadith that the Shaykh mentions. And what is this hadith that we just mentioned? Confirming what? Grasping. Naam, that Allah will grasp the earth, the whole of it in His hand. And it also confirms His hands that we mentioned from His sifat al-dhat, tiyya. Naam. Allah has hands. Naam. In His hand, and in his right hand the heavens will be rolled up. Naam. And the fourth hadith the Shaykh mentions is a hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim, also in Tirmidhi and Ahmad and Ibn Majah and others from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقِ كَتَبَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَدَبِي. The Shaykh said what? That the Prophet ﷺ said, when Allah created the creation, He wrote بِيَدِهِ with His hand upon Himself. Yani He made it obligatory upon Himself that what? He said for Himself, this is what He made Himself to stick to. إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَدَبِي. That indeed, my mercy will overcome, will supersede, will take precedence over my anger, غضبي. And this proves that Allah has mercy and Allah also has anger. But His mercy will overcome His anger for the believers. Naam, and this is a tremendous bushra for the believers, that Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His rahmah will overcome His anger. And that doesn't mean that we can just commit sins because Allah, His mercy, can overcome His anger. That doesn't mean He's not going to have any anger and there's not going to be any punishment. Naam, because Allah is forgiving and merciful, and Allah is also what? Shadidul Iqab. Severe in punishing. And some of the believers will be in the hellfire. We seek refuge in Allah from that. Before they eventually get out, if they died on Tawheed, without shirk, they will get out, yes, but they will be in the hellfire being punished. And Allah's mercy will overcome His anger. And we hope for this. And some of the narrations of this hadith, and this hadith confirms Allah's action of writing. لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقِ كَتَبَ بِيَدِهِ. He wrote with His hands. And it also confirms His what? Creation, that He created, when Allah created the creation. And in some of the narrations of the hadith, it says, when Allah created the creation, He wrote in His book that is with Him, عِنْدَهُ فَوْقَ الْأَرْشِ. The book that is with Him above the arsh, that verily my mercy overcomes my anger. And in some of the narrations it said, an authentic narration from Ibn Khuzaym in Tawheed, he said, لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ Adam, when Allah created Adam, كَتَبَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ, that He made it obligatory. He wrote and made it obligatory upon Himself that His mercy would overcome His anger. And there's a discussion here on this hadith from one of the scholars of the past. Ibn Khuzaymah mentioned in the Kitab al-Tawheed that I wish I had time to read, because he talks about, you know, the concept of the sifat of Allah and how what Allah has confirmed for Himself, we must accept it. And how people who reject it, how they fall into, yani, that which makes it clear that they are imbeciles, that they are idiots, that they are retarded. If Allah has confirmed for Himself something and then you don't accept it. But it's a long discussion and we don't have time. But maybe Allah another time, inshallah, open the way for it. And so this hadith that we mentioned here is confirming what? Creation and kitabah. And the fifth hadith, and we're coming to the end, fifth hadith is confirming khat, Allah's writing, and also His speaking. And this is the fifth hadith that the Shaykh mentions. Hadith that's reported by Bukhari and others, where the Shaykh says, this is the hadith of ihtijaj Adam wa Musa. Yani, the dispute between Adam and Musa, alayhi as-salam. May Allah, peace be upon both of them. فَقَالَ Adam, and some of the narrations make it clear that this dispute took place in the presence of Allah, in the رَبِّهِمَا, in the presence of their Lord. And it also makes it clear in some of the narrations that Musa said, يَا رَبِّي أَرِنِي Adam. That Musa said, oh my Lord, show me Adam. And Allah brought Adam to him. And then this dispute took place between them. And there are other narrations that make other things clear, but we just want to read, yani, just briefly, some of what was said in this hadith. فَقَالَ Adam, when they came together, Adam said, يَا مُوسَى اصْطَفَاكَ اللَّهُ بِكَلَامِهِ وَخَطَّ لَكَ التَّوْرَ بِيَدِهِ. This is what the Shaykh mentions. That Adam said, O Musa, Allah has chosen you with His speech. Yani, He spoke to you directly. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. So that means this is something special. Allah chose Musa over the other prophets. Nobody got this. At least at that time. He has chosen you by His speech. وَخَطَّ لَكَ التَّوْرَةَ. And He has written the Torah for you بِيَدِهِ. Allah wrote the Torah for Musa with His own hand. Now, this hadith is in Bukhari. The Shaykh says, Hakimi, rahimahullah, says, فَكَلَامُهُ تَعَالَى وَيَدُهُ صِفَةَ ذَاتِ, that his speech, Allah's, the characteristics of speech, and his hand, characteristics of his hand, these are the characteristics of his that, his divine being. وَتَكَلُّمُهُ, and his speaking, the act of speaking, is a characteristic of his that and his action, his fi'l, together. Meaning that speaking, the act of speaking, is attributed to Allah's that, and it's also attributed to being one of his actions, because he speaks sometimes whenever he wills to whomever he wills. In this case, he spoke to Adam, or, well, he spoke to Musa, na'am, spoke to Musa. He chose him and spoke to him, na'am, and wrote the Torah with his hand. This hadith also, because of the time, although there's a lot of benefit in it, we'll just mention some of what is said in it. Of the most important of what is said in the narration of Muslim, said that Adam and Musa had a dispute in front of their Lord. And Adam, وَحَجَّ Adam Musa, and Adam overcame Musa in the dispute. Musa said, you are Adam, the one who Allah created with his own hand. And he has breathed into you from his ruh, yani the spirit that he created. And he has caused the angels to prostrate to you, and then he has given you residence in his Jannah. Now this is what Musa said to Adam. He told him all that Allah gave to you. ثُمَّ أَحْبَطْتَ النَّاسِ بِخَطِيَتِكَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, then you caused the people by your sin, you caused the people to be thrown down into the earth, out of heaven. And he caused the people to be kicked out of heaven, out of the Jannah. After he told him all that, he said, then you did this. So he's blaming him. But is he blaming him for committing the sin? Or is he blaming him for being the cause of the people being thrown out of the Jannah? He's not blaming him for the sin, for sure, as the scholars of Sunnah say. Because that sin, he already repented from, right? And Allah accepted his repentance. And then Allah guided him after that. So he's not blaming him for the sin that he committed, that he repented from, and Allah accepted his repentance. But he's blaming him for being, because of his sin, it was the cause of us being thrown out of the Jannah. That's what he's really blaming him for. So Adam, he responds to him and he says, Anta Musa, you are Musa, the one who Allah has chosen by his risalah, to given his message, wa bi kalamihi, and speaking to him. And he has given you the tablets that contain the clarification of everything. Wa qarrabaka najiyan, and he has brought you near to him and spoke to you, yani in private conversation. And then he says to him, didn't you find in the Torah? Yani Adam is saying to Musa, when was it that you found in the Torah, yani, that this happened, that this was written? Yani, it was written before I was created. Yani, isn't that so? And then Musa says he found that it was written, he found in the Torah that it had been written, that this would happen 40 years before Musa was even created. فَقَالَ Adam, so I'm saying, yani, he said, Musa said that 40 years before Adam was created, it was already written. And he knows that from what? From reading it in the Torah. And then Adam said to him, didn't you find in the Torah also? وَعَصَى Adam رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى, that Adam disobeyed his Rabb and he went astray. Didn't you find that also? That did happen. And then he repented, and Allah accepted his repentance and guided him. And then Musa acknowledged, yes, that he found it. And then Adam said to him, so do you blame me for something that Allah had written to happen before he created me, 40 years before he created me? And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so Adam, he overcame Musa in the dispute. Why? Because what? The removal of the people from the Jannah? Well, Adam, he didn't remove the people from Jannah. Rather, he committed a sin, and he repented from that sin. But Allah decreed that as a result of that, that the people would be removed from Jannah. So He's telling him, don't blame me for what happened as a result of that. If you want to blame me for my sin, but I already repented from that, so you can't blame me for that. So He overcame him. Because He said, if you blame me for my sin, I already repented. And if you blame me for something else that happened that I didn't do, I committed the sin. I didn't remove the people from paradise, but Allah had decreed this, even before I was created. So therefore, this is something that Allah decreed, and we accept Allah's decree, And we don't blame Allah's decree for our sins. And Adam was not saying, I'm excused because Allah decreed me to commit a sin. No, he said, I repented from my sin. As far as what happened else that Allah decreed, that's in Allah's decree and we don't have any control over that. And this hadith, yani, is something that a person has to read to understand it well, because some of the people who tried to use the qadr and qadha and say that if I committed a sin, don't blame me, Allah decreed this before I was born, therefore don't ask me about it. And this is wrong. Because Adam wasn't saying that, because Adam did repent from his sin and Allah accepted his repentance. And the last hadith that the Shaykh mentions, is a hadith that's reported in Sahih Muslim and others, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُصِيءَ النَّهَارِ وَيَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُصِيءَ اللَّيْلِ. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Most High, stretch forth, outstretch His hands by night, in the night, so that the people who committed sins, who did evil during the day, may repent to Him. And He stretched forth His hand by day, so that the people who committed sins, who did evil during the night, may repent to Him. And this hadith also ends with the saying that the Shaykh doesn't mention in the text of the book, Hatta tatlu'a ash-shamsu min maghribiha. Hatta tatlu'a, until the sun rises from the place of its setting. Yani, Allah accepts repentance from the people until the day comes when the sun will rise from the place that it normally sets. And if the sun normally sets in the west, and one day it will rise from the west, and repentance will not be accepted after that. This is from the major signs of the judgment, alamat as-sa'a al-kubra. And when this happens, no repentance will be accepted after that. And this hadith is also a bushra, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretched forth His hands. Yaqbid, aw yabsutu, yabsutu. Yani, al-bast, stretching forth, yani, His hand, to accept the repentance of the people in day or in night. This is a bushra for the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us, when we slip or fall, to turn back to Him in repentance, and He is ready to accept it from us. It's incumbent upon us to be constantly, continuously, as much as we can in repentance for all of the sins that we are committing, yani, constantly and continuously. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts sincere repentance, so whoever repents to Allah sincerely with his conditions, then we expect that Allah will stretch forth His hands to accept our repentance. And we encourage us, all of us, if you have the book, to please go back and read these hadith and these ayats, and to look at the characteristics that are mentioned here, and try to use it as a means to learn how to identify, when you're reading the Quran or when you're reading the Sunnah, to identify the characteristics of Allah, whether they are the characteristics of His divine being that He's always described with, or whether they're the characteristics of His actions that He does whenever He wills. Identify them, learn them, recognize them, understand them, and then act upon it. If Allah stretched forth His hand in the night to accept repentance from the people who commit sins during the day, then it's nighttime now. Then it's incumbent upon us to know that Allah stretched forth His hand in this night for us to repent to Him. So what do we learn this hadith for? Just so that we can say we know a hadith? Just so that we can say we know some sifat? No. So that we, when we know Allah, then we act upon that knowledge. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Fikum barakallah. Any question? Related to what we discussed tonight. Now, just quickly. Now, we'll take two or three questions. Now, Abdul Karim. The hadith of intercession is talking about intercession in general. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have the greatest intercession, but other prophets will intercede, and messengers will intercede, and martyrs will intercede, and righteous people will intercede. Many people will intercede. Intercession is something that will be done by the permission of Allah. The only person who can intercede is the person who is upon tawheed, and the only person that they can intercede for is the person who is upon tawheed. No, nobody can intercede for the disbeliever. The person who died on kufr, khalas, the matter is finished. Naam. Ibrahim. Naam. Just give us 5 minutes to take the two or three questions. The brother's asking a question, please. No. The last, which hadith?
Hadith of Musa, Adam and Musa.
Now, the Shaykh mentions this hadith for the purpose of what? He doesn't mention the whole story, right? But the part of the hadith that he mentions is that the saying of Adam, Ya Musa istafaqa Allah bi kalamihi wa khatta laka at-Tawrah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa and he wrote the Torah with his own hand for him. So he's really mentioning two characters here. One of them is speaking and the other one is writing. Now, that's what he intended by this particular hadith. Now, Naam, akhi. What is your name, akhi?
Huh?
Hello.
My question is about the hands of Allah.
Naam.
Some
people say that Allah has two hands and they both are right and there's no left hand. Yeah, and there's a dispute about this issue. Okay, there are some narrations of hadith that mention Allah's left hand, shimali. There are some narrations of hadith like that. Some of the scholars of the sunnah say that both of his hands are right hands. And some of them say that if this mention of the shimalihi is a mistake, is an error. But even if it is not, then both of his hands are perfect, for sure. But most of the scholars say that both of his hands are right hands. But in any case, they're perfect. However, whether or not we accept shimalihi or not, then both of his hands are right hands. And most of the narration says his hand, and it mentions his right hand. It doesn't mention left hand. But there are some narrations in the Kitab al-Tawheed, some of the scholars discuss this particular point. And the correct view of it is better to say that Allah, both his hands are right hands, but in any case, they are perfect. That's what's important. His hands are perfect. Now, and Allah knows best. Tayyib, yeah, Abu Bakr. Naam. Yawma yakshafu an saakin. Naam. This requires some discussion, okay? But we can say here, if you read the Tafsir Ibn Kathir, you will find that this ayah, and in the day when his shank will become, yani, uncovered. His, what do you call this part of it? Shin. Yani, whatever. Shin. Naam. There's the correct view concerning this, Allah knows best, is that this ayah of the Quran is general. But there's a hadith that mentions more specifically the shin of Allah. And that confirms that this is from the characteristics of Allah, that he has a shin. Naam. From the sunnah. From the sunnah. As far as the ayah in the Quran, it's more general and it's not specific. It's not connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not clear that it's connected to Allah. But the hadith, in the hadith it is clear. Yeah, it seems as though in the book, I didn't notice this, but it seems as though it says in Arabic, لَمَّا خَلَقَ الْخَلْقْ كَتَبَ فِي بِيَدِهِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And it should be لَمَّا خَلَقَ الْخَلْقْ لما خلق الخلق كتب بيده, not في بيده. So if it's in the Arabic in your book like this, في بيده, it should be just بيده without في. لما خلق الله الخلق كتب في. Yes, hadith. Now, yeah, I don't remember which hadith is this. Second, third. لما خلق الله الخلق كَتَبَ بِيَدِهِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. It's the fourth hadith. Naam. If it says fi كَتَبَ fi بِيَدِهِ, it should be كَتَبَ بِيَدِهِ without fi. That's a mistake. Well, actually, in the hadith that I have here, it doesn't have fi, but maybe in the English book, maybe they put the Arabic with fi. Naam. 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 Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. Maybe. But inshallah, we will bring back some detail concerning this. I know Ibn Kathir mentioned it in the Tafsir, and some of the scholars have discussed it in detail. And inshallah, I'll look for some place that's mentioned in detail, but it's really confirmed in the Sunnah. Inshallah, more so than it is in the ayah from the Quran. And Allah knows best. We'll look for the details concerning it. Naam. Which tafsir should we read? Whichever one you like. Whichever one you like. The tafsir of Ibn Kathir is a summary of his tafsir, which is a good summary. It's in 10 volumes. It covers the whole Quran from beginning to end. And of course, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir is the best tafsir. That's most well known and established of being upon the sunnah. As far as the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, it's not complete in English. If a person is reading Arabic, alhamdulillah, it's excellent. And it's preferable to many other tafsirs. But if they're reading in English, it's only a little part of it has been translated so far. So you won't be able to read the tafsir of the whole Qur'an. But if you read it, alhamdulillah, it's tremendous benefit. As far as for acting upon what you read in the Qur'an, in my own preference is the tafsir of Sa'di, because he talks about the issues in a way that the person who's reading it finds a way to act upon it. Whereas the other books of tafsir basically are explaining what the meaning of the ayats are, without necessarily addressing you as a person. So this tafsir is more designed to address you as an individual, in my view. And therefore, if a person wants to act upon something, it's easier to read the tafsir of Sa'di, to act upon it. But as far as understanding the meaning of the Qur'an, then you can't do without the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. You can't do without it. If you read both of them, alhamdulillah, together. If you read any ayah or chapter or whatever you read, read it in Ibn Kathir first, to get the formal understanding of those ayats. And then read it from Sa'di to get some benefit personally for yourself, as well as the understanding of the ayat. And Allah knows best. And we're going to stop here, inshallah, because it's late. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Now, if you have a question, you can come and ask. I just want to let everybody go.